Say hello to the most ghetto podcast in America, the Rapids Thugcast. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 4 of the Rapids Thugcast, the dirtiest podcast in football according to FC Dallas fans. My name's Chris White, you can call me Ooze, and I'm here with Bulldog Ben. Jed is not here today. I don't know what he's doing, but it's probably more important than this, which is to say he could be doing anything. Yeah. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit tired, but we are going to saunter on through and, you know, do as best as we possibly can without...
Saunter, that's far too fancy of a word for this podcast.
We're going to trudge. We're going to trudge on through,
Trudge. That sums up the Rapids last couple of weeks, yeah, actually.
Without crunch. Jed's childlike laughter to help us.
Okay, I'll try and make up for that with a couple of...
Yeah, there you go.
Throw in a couple of those every so often. Make a Star Wars reference.
Every now and again.
Every now and again.
Right, so what is our first item of today, Chris?
Apparently the Rapids played last weekend. I didn't hear about it. It was against Sporting Kansas City, and it was another draw.
Yeah.
We're all very excited about draws. Draws everywhere. Rapids are now unbeaten in 7, but 6 of those 7 have been the almighty draw.
Yeah, the almighty
draw.
Last
one, 1-1. Yeah, the almighty draw. Tell us about the stats, Ben. It's not pretty.
It is not pretty, Chris. The stats on the night were much the same for Colorado as... they were for Toronto, the Toronto FC game. We're looking at 7 attempts on goal total from Colorado. Sporting Kansas City, actually a much better team than their numbers indicate, and a much better team than Toronto, than their record indicates anyway. Their numbers are much better. They're much better than Toronto anyway in terms of offensive production. Colorado had 7 attempts on goal to Sporting Kansas City's 14 attempts on goal. So they outshot us at home 2-1. They had more shots on target. They had, you know, more crosses from open play. We outfouled them. That's the Rapids outfouled them almost 2-1. They possessed the ball about almost 10% more than us. Looks like about.
All right, we get it.
I mean, the numbers are devastating.
We get it.
Numbers are devastating.
Stop.
And
I can't take it.
It's painful. I mean, this is a really bad game from the Rapids. However, it's kind of nice to
have a game where we get outplayed and get a draw as opposed to all the other ones where we outplayed the other team immensely and still gotten a draw.
Which one was that?
Toronto.
We outplayed Toronto?
We outpossessed them, certainly.
We outpossessed them, certainly, but I don't think...
And our passing was much better. We had more chances to get near the box, but Quincy Amariqua decided to be Quincy Amariqua.
And also just...
And shoot just, everything out past the touchline.
On a bright note, the attendance was the best I've seen since the opening day.
Portland, yes. 16,000 strong, we
16,439.
On a cold day as well, which is surprising.
Yep, on a cold day, a rainy day, about the same.
It was raining during the second. It was drizzly.
It was about the same conditions that RSL had when they played Seattle and lost at home at Rio Tinto. You know,
I wonder why you brought that up.
It was really the only bright part of that whole evening. After watching the Rapids just getting whooped, and then you know, Nane goes down with an injury. After playing for ten minutes, our backup guy goes down with his shoulder popped out of its socket. You know, just it was.
Well,
it,
he has a history of that.
Not a good evening for the Rapids, injury-wise.
No. And Marvell Wynn as well was brought out. Part of the reason why we were so screwed up is during the last 10 minutes of the match, we were down to 10 men.
That is also true.
Marvell Wynn was dragged off the field. He'll be out for at least 2 weeks, which is freaking great.
Terrible, because he is one of the best defenders in the league, if not the best. He is the fastest, certainly the fastest defender in the league.
He might be the fastest player in the league.
I don't know if he's the fastest player. He definitely
he's up there.
Definitely up there, and he's most certainly the fastest defender. in the league. So it's going to be a big test to go without him for 2 weeks. Fortunately, the Rapids' next 2 weeks are not anything like the last week that we had, which is a game on Sunday, game on Wednesday, game on Saturday.
Right. Well, June's a fairly easy month, only four games, and one of them's very early in the month, the 4th. So it'll be a welcome rest before July when we have seven games.
Absolutely. I mean, these are just brutal stretches. I mean, brutal stretches.
At the very least in the Sporting game, one thing that I can comment on that was good was Connor Casey emerging back into Connor Casey form.
Yeah, he got a goal.
That was a vintage Connor Casey goal. His anticipation was up. He didn't have to be fast to get the... He sniped Collins' terrible back pass, rounded Nielsen, put in a nice shot that was hard enough to not get slid away from the defender. And I'm glad to see Connor Casey's putting him in the net again because he's really our only hope at this point.
Well, you know, Akpan, just throwing this out.
Oh, and Akpan.
Akpan outshot Casey. He outshot he did. He outshot Casey. Casey only had one shot, one goal. Right? One shot, one goal. Andre was in for, I can't remember what.
He was in for about 30 minutes. No, he subbed in for Nane at the 58th minute.
Yeah, he played for 33 minutes.
So he played for about
33 minutes, got four shots off.
Target, I think.
Yeah, one was on target, but he's taking shots. Casey, however, was in for the full 90, one shot, one goal. So
yeah, he was still terrorizing the back
still
line. He just looked for the pass.
Line. Just saying,
am I the only one who caught that part right after Akpan subbed in where it looked like they were playing total football?
Well, they kind of have.
Mastroeni and LeBeau were coming forward.
Yeah, well, they kind of have
to. I saw Casey out on the wing playing the cross.
I don't think the Rapids – I think the Rapids do, on some level, play a kind of total football style where everything's based on movements in the team rather than everyone having a specific job. Everyone kind of fills in where they can. Like, for example, when one famous example of that was when Drew Moore was playing striker at the end of the Seattle game. You know, and they had him.
Ross LeBeau was playing striker at the end of the New England game?
Yeah, I mean, the Rapids, in terms of total football, they play it in terms of, I think, in terms of positioning, perhaps not in terms of, you know, this one-touch passing game that people like so much, but certainly I think in terms of movement and positioning. I mean, they'll do it if they have to, and they certainly have got to start working that mentality with all these injuries. I mean, anyone could be playing any position at any particular time, especially when you've got, you know, as many injuries as we have. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the Stephen Emery at center back campaign.
Yeah, well, if we start seeing Stephen Emery and Davey Armstrong brought out before they're done, you know, it's going to be... Gary doesn't.
I don't want to think about that.
Because Gary
Let's
Smith,
not think about that.
We both know Gary Smith does not like to bring people out until he feels like they're done. You know, like he sat on Akpan for a really long time, and it looks like all that time just paid off. And he's, you know, he takes a lot of shots. He's confident with his feet.
Who else do we have in the midfield after Nane went down besides LeBeau?
Yeah, besides LeBeau, it's really
everyone else is the wingers like Wells Thompson.
Yeah,
and
Wells
Thompson, Sana Niasi. Who else is in the middle except for
Niasi is way out in the Gambia right now. He was called up and. Tyrone and Cummings might take.
No, Tyrone and Omar have already said they're not playing for Jamaica.
Okay,
which is a godsend.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's
the gods that we aren't losing Cummings and Marshall.
Right, especially with the stretch of games coming up.
Well, fortunately, the Gold Cup takes place in June, so we'd have gotten them back by that terrible July stretch. Anyway.
Yeah. Awful July stretch, but yeah, I mean it was a bad game for the Rapids by the numbers. Bad game in terms of results. I mean, these are two teams, Sporting KC and Toronto FC, that we should be, you know, beating. I think we both predicted that there would be a win, and most of us predicted a shutout. Did you predict they'd get on the board?
No, I predicted 3-0.
Oh yeah.
I guess you and Jed tied for the absolutely nothing prize this week.
Yeah, well,
Good job, us.
Well
done predicting that Sporting Kansas City would get one goal.
Yeah. Hooray. I feel great about that.
Don't we feel special?
Yeah. Speaking of feeling special, wouldn't it be special if we got a jersey sponsor?
No, it wouldn't be special if we got a jersey sponsor, but apparently we're back on that bandwagon again after the whole Porsche debacle. Nick Thomas of MLSsoccer.com wrote an article on, what was it, 2 days ago, 3 days ago? Mm. It was May 30th.
Right, how we're closing
and
down.
And it says, yeah, apparently we're close to a deal, which we've never heard that before, ever.
Yeah, no, never. I've never heard anything about an exciting announcement to a deal.
The exact quote was, "The buzz is very positive as we continue to work with potential clients."
That's what we heard before the season.
That's what we heard in 2006. Why do people keep getting their hopes up?
Why do we even have hopes about this is what I'm thinking. It's like, they're, to me, great. If it brings in a lot of money and that somehow gets us, because I heard that what will happen is if we get that, then we'll get more allocation money from the league.
Right.
What would we use that on? You know, I don't know what we'd use the allocation money for.
Well, we do have an open roster spot.
We do, and I think
the Rapids do only have 29 out of the 30 possible players, and there's a couple of holes that could be filled.
Right, I heard Gary.
Quite frankly, the team could use as much quality as they could.
Right. I mean, if somehow we get a lot of allocation money, and somehow that translates to us looking at one prospect over another. Like, for example, if Gary Smith is looking in the bargain bin, I heard he's been looking in Greece for a left back, and I think I know who that is. I thought I knew that like before the start of the year. It was Jordan Stewart, who I think is like a left or right back, left right center back, and a very versatile defender.
That's what we need.
That's what we're looking at. That's what we need.
As many players who can play as many positions as possible.
I mean, if we get that sort of allocation money, are we going to then start going? Well, do I want that left back, or do I want that kind of guy, or do I want someone maybe a little more exciting? Maybe someone a little more name recognition.
You know that the designated player talk's going to start again if we get a jersey sponsor.
Right, and I mean,
which we dealt with all last season, and I think every season since the DP rule got into effect.
I think it should. I think it should start again. Like we could think that they might go for a player with a little bit more name recognition, but I would not be disappointed if they didn't get a DP. I mean, this is not a team that deals well with big egos. It doesn't deal well with people that don't fit into the system. I mean, it really is about the system and not about particular players, So
yeah,
if someone wants us to go out and shop around for some kind of creative attacking midfielder, I don't see it. I don't see a player like that unless they can fit into our system, being a part of the Rapids.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind. If we got a designated player, then I wouldn't mind terribly if it was a really good winger.
Yeah.
But a creative central attacking midfielder, I see no point. Everyone wants a central attacking midfielder.
That plays centrally and creates through the midfield, and it's...
We already have one of those. Jamie Smith can play that position.
Jamie Smith is our creative. Yeah, he can play that position, and perhaps someday he's going to end up owning that position.
I think Pablo Mastroeni is in his last season, so it's very possible.
It is possible that Pablo's going to start backing off.
What is he, 36?
Yeah, I think he's 36.
he's old.
Yeah. But in soccer years, he's not old. He's not old by.
No, we're both young, strapping young men. We can say that he's old.
Okay. Yes.
We're not old enough that we can start making. Oh, he's 34. Okay.
Yeah, he couldn't have been my dad, but he could have babysat for me.
Jed's dad. We all know Jed's 12.
All right. So again, kit sponsor. I wouldn't hold your breath. I really wouldn't hold your breath.
We've been saying that since forever.
Yeah, I mean, every single time, it's just, oh, we're going to get a kid sponsor.
When people start to, they get those unsubstantiated rumors, and then they get mad when they don't come true.
Yeah.
Like, people were getting mad at the Rapids when Porsche wasn't the jersey sponsor. I'm like, they didn't say they were going to get a jersey sponsor.
Yeah. And then why be mad about that? That's what I'm saying. Like, why be upset about that? It's no big deal. You know, it's no big deal if we don't get one. I mean, it's great if we do and we get a lot of money from it. I mean, that's the point, is you get money.
Yeah.
The point is not to look like every other team in the league. Like, people are sitting there going like, oh, yeah. I think there was a really great article posted up on nofanalone.com. If you guys want to take a look at it, about jersey sponsorship.
The history of jersey sponsorship.
Yeah. I don't know if
posted that one in the game day link dump.
Yeah,
days ago.
Check burgundywave.com for the link dump. to nofanalone.com.
If they're listening to this, they're on burgundywave.com.
They are also on burgundywave.com.
Aha!
So, yeah, check that out. It's a really good history of the fact. The fact is, why do we need a jersey sponsor? Unless it brings in money, there's no point.
Well, that's the only reason when we get a jersey sponsor. Every team in the league doesn't have a jersey sponsor.
And they don't need
one. The crew don't.
They don't need one. They used to have Glidden.
They did. Chicago used to have one as well, Best Buy, but they don't anymore.
Yeah.
Sporting doesn't have one.
Sporting doesn't have one.
I think that's it.
Again, no point. No point unless it's bringing in money.
Yeah. And it would. All right, we got a letter here from Richard Terry.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Who's also a Crystal Palace fan. Woot, woot!
you guys are repping
the three of us, yeah!
You guys are like cockroaches. Like, if you see one, there's probably 1,000 more living under your floorboards.
Shut up. I wish. We could have a party down there. Anyway, he's one of the few people I know actually listens to the Thugcast every week. One of the two people... Yeah, and he sent us a fan letter asking us to talk about, you say his name, I can never pronounce it.
Who is it?
Vancouver's coach.
Thordarson,
okay. Well, he said, Thordarson, by far the coolest last name of any MLS coach, he says. Come on, would you not want the Norse Thunder God as part of your last name? Talk about him being sacked by Vancouver after a 1-5-6 start in league play. I disagreed with it, mainly because I don't see how Vancouver could possibly do any better under the new guy.
Yeah, I mean, firing...
And if they do improve, it's probably just going to be a coincidence.
Because
they've been incredibly unlucky in their first couple of games. Yeah.
I thought they were doing well at the beginning of the season. They were really surprising people, and now they're in a slump. And... I think it's incredibly unprofessional. I think it's unprofessional. I think it's shocking. I know. I love how they always ask Jason Christ. I think there was an article up on MLSsoccer.com asking Jason Christ what he thought about it. And, of course, he like any coach, is just sitting there like, it's shocking. I mean, you should not fire a coach, you know, midway through a season unless they do something ethically wrong, you know? Unless it's some kind of breach of ethics or some kind of thing where Thordarson was, you know, backroom deals or, like, throwing games for money or, like, taking bribes, you know what I mean? Like,
or Chicago's coach changing the formation every week.
You know, there's nothing wrong with changing formations. There's nothing wrong with changing personnel to see if you can
He was doing it to the point where even Chicago fans are like, dude, stop.
But if you're running into... Even if the fans are like, dude, stop, there's very few occasions where I would say that managers need to go in the middle of a season. For example, if a manager has lost his locker room, like completely lost his locker room to the point where, you know... maybe there are fights happening. If you just can't get control of your players and they're not listening to you anymore, you need to go. You need to step down. I don't know if that was the... It doesn't seem like that was the case in Vancouver. But it's like
or
I said,
if you trade Kyle Beckerman from Eddie Bellucci, that's a time to get sent
off
in the middle of the season.
If you just... if you see, again, if you seem to have lost your locker room and there's no chance of you getting them back, and they just don't respect you and they don't want to follow your plan anymore, or if you pull a what did he do, the Bayern manager Van Gaal, when he decided that the best way to show his players how disappointed he was with them was by whipping out his penis in the locker room and showing it to them. Like, if a manager does something like that, I think that might be grounds to say that he may have lost that locker room.
Well, he certainly didn't get an extension, if you know what I mean. I miss Jed. He would have laughed at
looks
that.
Looks like he came, yeah, he probably came up a bit short in that department.
Welcome to the Statler and Waldorf of rapid soccer. Yeah, it's a Muppets reference. Screw you guys.
I think we've gone out of Star Wars. I think it's shocking. I think it's shocking that you would, you know, take a manager out midway through a season. I think it's a disturbing trend that this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, for an expansion team as well.
For an expansion team, right.
An expansion team that didn't add all that much except for maybe Jay DeMeritt and Joe Cannon during the offseason.
He was there through their NASL, or was it USL? Did they play in? I can't remember.
NASL. It was NASL.
I remember he was there for the last couple of years for NASL. So, he's clearly established himself, and, you know, you need to give him a shot at this, at the bigger league. Like, you need to give him a whole season. You can only judge a guy on their whole season, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The team hasn't been playing particularly bad either. They've been pretty unlucky at times.
It would be like sacking Hasley and Jay Nolly,
who have actually played quite well.
It would be like sacking Gary Smith because he's been drawing so much, or sacking Shellis Hinman last year when he was drawing so much, you know.
Shellis Hinman last year took it beyond so much.
he made it into an art form and somehow got coach.
When you draw half the games in a goddamn season,
yeah.
That's maybe a little bit much. But it's all right. At least they didn't play dirty football like we did.
Best coach of 2010, baby. Best coach of 2010.
Yeah, rocking the metal horns right here. You can't see it, but I'm rocking the metal horns right here.
Yeah.
Next on our itinerary is laugh at Sepp Blatter.
Yeah. But... Well, you know what? It's hard to laugh. You know, it's more like laugh at our pathetic. Just laugh at how pathetic FIFA is, really, and laugh at how sad it is. We have absolutely no alternative to FIFA than this circus of basically you open up FIFA and it's like opening up a cookware cabinet because it's full of pots and kettles. Like, that's all it is. It's just pots and kettles. Like, just point, like, you're corrupt. No, you're corrupt. That you're both probably corrupt. Like, that's the funny part about this, is that the corruption is so deep in FIFA that, you know, Sepp Blatter accuses one guy of corruption, he gets immediately accused of corruption back. And it's probably the only reason that the charge stuck to the other guys is probably because of corruption.
Yeah, I like how Sepp Blatter was running against that other guy for the presidency, and the only reason that Sepp Blatter won is because the other presidency candidate got corruption.
Yes, he got corruption and was
charged against
him. He was suspended during the election. And so was Jack Warner? Or was it Chuck Blazer? Which one? No, Chuck Blazer almost got fired by
it was Warner,
Jack
I think.
Warner. Yeah, Warner got suspended for corruption. Now, I can't remember. Did he vote for Qatar? Didn't he vote for Qatar?
What was it? The final vote was 14-8, right?
Yeah, and it was between Qatar
and
the United States.
I'm not sure, but the odds are against him. Yeah. The odds are for him voting for Qatar.
And apparently there were bribes given in U.S.
Really?
The irony is that the bribes were given in U.S. dollars.
Yeah. Oh, really, all I have to say about the whole thing is, USA fans, shut up. There's not going to be a revote.
Like,
stop banging down my door and saying, "Oh my God, we're gonna get the World Cup after." No, we're not. I have no faith in FIFA to be smart enough to have a revote then. And even if they do, Australia is probably going
to
win.
And you know what? The to me, it's that if Qatar is shown at, like, you're accusing them of corruption. Who corrupted them? And if it was indeed Qatar, if it was indeed Qatar who was bribing them, then the World Cup needs to be taken away. Period. You can't have that. You can't just sanction. That would be sanctioning corruption. If you proved, like, you have to have a follow through on this. If you accuse these guys of corruption and you find out that they're guilty of corruption, the evidence is clearly there as to who corrupted them, as to who offered them money or favors or whatever. The evidence must be there. So who did it?
And I think the evidence is there.
And if you find it, and if it wasn't,
I've seen things.
And if it was Qatar, you have to take the World Cup away. You have to. If you want to have any respect as a governing body whatsoever, there have to be consequences both for accepting bribes and for making them.
See now the problem with that is you assume they have respect to begin with that can be taken away.
That is true. That is true. And if let's just say if they ever at any future point want to get any kind of respect as a governing body, they need to follow through and take the World Cup away from Qatar. If it is proven that Qatar was bribing votes for themselves, and then if the cup's taken away from Qatar, then I could see a revote. Because honestly, it was a weird situation to vote on two World Cups at once. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, having another vote just doesn't seem to me to be, have it again in 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if it's in 4 years, then that... Yeah. Well, people were thinking there's going to be a revote tomorrow or something.
Yeah, have it again in 4 years. You know, 2022, and you know, we're still a long way off. You know, if it's 2014, 2022 is still, 8 years away. So whoever's getting it is going to have more than enough time to prepare.
Trust me, if the U.S. gets the World Cup after all that, then I'll be perfectly fine. But I have lost any faith that I may have ever had in FIFA at this point.
It, more than likely, what I think is going to happen is these corruption charges will somehow go away after the election. And after they're just somehow going to fade in the background, and FIFA is going to hope you forget. They're going to hope you forget about it.
Yeah.
And Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer and everyone's going to go back to palling around in a back room somewhere without us ever finding out what the corruption charges were, who could have bribed them, although, of course, Americans have a pretty good idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I get a hint?
Got a couple theories. It starts with a K, ends with a tar.
I can't piece this puzzle together.
It's England.
Oh, those bastards. They totally bought the 2018 World Cup. Those English bastards.
They couldn't stand it.
It's all that Russian oil money.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to have confidence and faith that FIFA will do the right thing and have a revote in 4 years' time.
Good luck with that.
I would like to. I would like to believe that's going to happen. More than likely, they're going to try and sweep this under the rug. Because everyone's hands are dirty in this, and
that's what I expect. That's what's probably going to happen. And just like with the jersey sponsor, people are getting their hopes up for something that is pretty doubtful.
Yeah.
No matter how much the media is trying to tell us.
Yeah. No matter how much Grant Wall wants it to be true.
Yeah.
How's that presidential bid going for you, Grant? How's that going? How's that going, buddy?
Okay, moving on. Philadelphia Union this Saturday, Dick's Sporting Goods Park, another home game, and it's kind of sad that I'm expecting a tie this week.
Yeah.
Just because there have been so many, and Philadelphia, accepting the 6-2 drubbing of Toronto that they had last weekend, accepting that pretty much every Union game this season has been a boring slogfest. That has either ended 1-0, 1-1, or 0-0.
Right. And the Rapids games, aside from that New York game, have been slogfests. I mean,
Just as boring.
The Toronto game, slogfest. Kansas City game, slogfest. I don't know why the Rapids have insisted on relying. We have a great defense. Aside from that Dallas game where no one showed up, our defense has been very solid, and it's good to have a solid defense to rely on, but way too much. I mean, we're not nearly putting up the offensive production numbers. I mean, Philly, as defensive as they are actually out shooting Colorado by, a third of a goal, a third of a shot per game. So
again, let me point out that 6-2 game is slightly skewing the numbers.
It is. I mean, it's definitely it's a concern. I mean, offensive production for me is a concern. People aren't taking chances. We're not creating enough good chances with our home games, and that's one of the things that needs to pick up. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, would I agree? I don't know.
No.
I love nil-nil draws. They're great.
Let's sit back and defend.
Nil-nil draws are freaking awesome. Well, hopefully we can have a repeat of last year where Wells Thompson scored a goal against them.
Well, Wells Thompson is not exactly.
Hey, he has a proven track record of scoring against Philadelphia.
A very opportunistic goal against Philadelphia, was it not? Wasn't it a rebound?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was a rebound off his own shot, though.
Yeah.
No, it was a free kick.
A free kick. It bounced off of
the keeper. I don't even remember who the keeper was last year.
He was sent away. He was actually sent away. Sites,
that's right.
Yeah, Chris Sites.
And now they have Mondragon, who is actually good.
Yeah, he actually knows how to organize a defense. He's
which is obvious.
And he's a proven talent in the net. Fantastic keeper.
Colombian wizard.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, did we play Casey in a 4-1-4-1?
Can we play a 4-1-4-1? Do we have enough people on defense anymore?
That's true.
Unless we start Pal Guda, which God forbid.
How about a 3-4-3? A 3-4-4? 3-4-4, maybe?
A 3-4-3 could actually work because we have four healthy strikers now.
Yeah.
We have Fulon, we have Akpan, we have Casey. And we could keep Amari Kwan on the bench as the backup. Cummings, he's not going to the Gold Cup, but he's probably not going to be healthy enough to the bench.
He's as questionable as Caleb. Caleb's got a groin strain. Everyone's been saying that he may be returning from... So Jamie Smith just was working according to the injury report, he was working with John Ireland on Tuesday, and he looks to return from the calf injury. So Jamie Smith might be back in the lineup.
If Jamie Smith is back, I will have a lot more confidence in this team to score.
Yeah, I mean, if we played... Since I don't know if we have to worry about Philly's offense as much...
They haven't scored much this season, but Danny Mwanga and Sebastian Letou are still
dangerous.
Very good talents.
Very dangerous.
The problem is that they've been playing Carlos Ruiz...
Pescadito.
High attacker, and that hasn't quite been working out for them.
Well, they've got a good defense. So what do the Rapids have to do to win this game? What do you think are some keys to the game here?
Well, putting a ball into the net would help.
How do we put the ball in the net? Don't explain that.
However the hell we can. It's strange. Set pieces are going to be very important in this match. At the beginning of the year, the Rapids couldn't score on a set piece to save their life. Now that's the only way they're scoring.
Mm.
Philly, they have Carlos Ruiz, so obviously they're a fairly physical team. The Rapids are probably going to get a lot of fouls against them and a lot of fouls for, but if they get some fouls in good spots, then Jeff Lorenowitz is probably going to have to come up big. If anyone's going to score on the Rapids, I'd put my money on him at this point.
Score for the Rapids or on the Rapids?
For the Rapids.
Okay.
I hope Jeff Lorenowitz doesn't score on the Rapids.
Goal or something.
Otherwise, I would shoot myself.
Yeah, Philly performed.
I don't even know how that would happen.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to look over some Philly stats. Any other keys to the game that you might think about?
Yeah. Just the usual. The defense is going to have to stay strong without Marvell, especially. Mm-hmm. Marshall's probably going to get the start in the middle. I wonder what the back four will look like. Probably Wallace, Marshall, Moore, Kimura.
All right, dude, this is going to kill you. Ready? I'm looking at stats from the most recent Philly game against Toronto.
Don't look at the stats from that game.
No, I want to because it's interesting. Okay, Toronto outshot Philly and still lost by one. Outshot them by one.
Really, Toronto?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They also outpossessed them. This is the really interesting one. 60-40.
Really, Toronto? Really?
Yeah, they also had better passing accuracy. Philadelphia Union only completed 285 passes that entire game.
This really just goes to show how much Toronto sucks.
I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, that looks like a complete defensive breakdown to me.
Well, if you watch the game, then yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it was...
Most of those goals weren't particularly impressive by Philly.
No. So, perhaps... there were just tons of attempts from Philly, and it was just and with very little possession, and very little actual passing.
Honestly, if Philly tries most of those shots that they tried against Toronto, Colorado will stop them.
Yeah.
Just because we have a much better defense than Toronto, and Matt Pickens shouldn't have a day quite as bad as Fry had.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fry was just torn up after that game. He played.
Oh
so
yeah,
badly.
He was horrified. And he said he was just. There's really no words. There's just no words.
No. I watched that game. There were no words. Or at least we watched the first two goals worth.
Yeah. Oh, that's just terrible. Yeah. Bad game.
Toronto's not that good.
And yet we drew them. Important.
We had just as many chances as Philadelphia had to score a goal, but for some reason, no one decided to shoot them.
Yeah.
We were near the net several times with the ball.
But no one
but
decided to shoot.
But freaking Quincy Amariqua was like, nope, gotta take it into the box, settle
take
the
it
shot.
The bus,
oh, where'd the ball go?
Make a nice square pass, and where's the ball?
Where's the ball?
Where'd it go?
Pass. Amari Kwa turnover.
Yeah.
That was my game recap from that one.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, Sebastian Letou is a guy to look out for. I mean, and so Letou and Mwanga, just to point out, when they're on, they're shooting. I mean, they are shooting. I mean, Mwanga had four shots. Letou had five that night. Mwanga, all of his shots were shots on goal. So, accurate shots, good shots, and two of those were goals. So that's a really productive and very dangerous offensive pairing against
really,
a defense.
We just have to hope that game was the exception to the rule.
Yeah, I mean, it's against...
Because the rule has been 1-1
draws.
We
also hope it wasn't a wake-up game. You know what I mean? I mean, Dallas, the game where they whooped us, that was their wake-up game. You know, that was when they woke up and started taking.
We're
it
so
to
glad
people.
To help.
So glad to help you out there, Dallas. And it was.
We're
it
all
was,
into the sharing thing. We play, everyone gets a point.
We love it. So you know, you got to hope
sharing
that was not a wake up game for them. It seems like it was, and if they start putting up those numbers at the weekend, we're going to have to hope that whatever defense we can cobble together after having Wynn gone,
yeah, whoever's starting is going to be big.
Yeah,
part of this game.
So I'm predicting
best case scenario we have Jamie Smith starting.
Yeah, best case scenario I think is
we'll probably play a 4-4-2 again, so we'll have two striking talents up top, Casey and Akpan maybe.
That didn't seem to work as well as the 4-1-4-1 that we had against New York with Akpan up front. Even so,
Akpan
That
was against New York, though, and New York didn't play particularly well for that first half.
Not defensively, anyway. I'm not feeling good about this game. I'm not scared. I'm just not feeling good about this.
I don't think Philadelphia will win, at least.
I think
our defense is good enough that Philly's obviously not going to score six goals on us.
No, I think our defense...
We're not Toronto bad. We are at home where we've historically played quite well.
Yeah. To me, it depends on which Rapids show up. I mean, are you going to have a Rapids team who keeps it good, who, you know, goes out and attacks from minute one and just keeps pressure on them, just keeps shooting, you know, like the New York Rapids? Or are you going to have a Rapids team that sits back and lets Philly just kind of come into the game, hoping that their offense is kind of, you know,
wonky,
as blunted as it has been in so many games, like just hoping that it's still blunted, which you don't know. I mean, you don't know that they're just that they're still. I mean, from this, it just seems like that was. You just have to kind of sit back and pray that was not a wake up game and it was just a fluke, you know.
All right.
Rapids need to score. They need to score early. And
yeah, what do you think?
I'm going to predict 2-2.
Draw. 2-2?
I'm going to predict a 2-2 draw. I think Philly's going to score. I think they're going to score twice. I'm hoping the Rapids are going to strike back. With
6-2 Rapids.
Yeah, 6-2 Rapids. Well, we have
no.
To...
I'll predict 1-1.
Yeah, I predict 2-2 simply because I think Philly they're a good team. They really produced last game, and if they're still running on that kind of hot form, they're going to get some ball. They're going to put a ball in the net.
If Jed was here, he would kill the both of us.
Yeah, I'm saying it's going to be a 2-2.
I don't like draws.
I don't like them either, but that's what I'm seeing from these numbers here. I'm seeing.
You know, that was my Jed impression.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking to imaginary Jed.
You're talking to imaginary Jed.
I'm talking to imaginary Jed.
I'm glad that we're mentally breaking down here at the Rapids Thugcast.
Yeah, but that's what I see. So,
but you, 2-2. See, you see an imaginary Jed. That's
I see an imaginary
see.
Jed in a 2-2 draw.
I thought you were just saying he was in a 2-2.
He could be in a 2-2 if I pay
him.
He
could be.
If I'm paying him, he'll wear whatever he wants to wear.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Rapids Thugcast. Did we really have to end on that note?
Yep.
All right. See y'all next week.